Let us pray.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in church today. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you because you are the God that forgives all our sins. You heal all our diseases. You deliver our life from destruction. You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You are the God that satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. What can we ever do without you? You yourself have said it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Because you are the very breath that we breathe. And this morning, we rededicate ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you and say, Father God, use us for your glory. As your word comes for today, let it be the words of the Holy Spirit, inspired. Let it be spirit that gives life and not letter that kills. Father, I yield to you. Speak through me to your Holy Spirit. Bless your people. I pray that your word will come forth with understanding and revelation. And I pray that the hearts of your people will be simple, humble this morning to receive this word that can transform their life. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. How are you today? Happy to have you in church. But Tim, happy to have you back. You know, we missed you when you traveled. So, Yolanda, happy to have you in Basingstoke. I'm always happy when you're in Basingstoke. I hope to have you in Basingstoke for a very long time. The Lord is able. Yeah? The Lord is able. It was like when God told Abraham. When God told, you know, the story of Abraham, when he was about 75 years old, God called him and told him it will make him, you know, it will give him a son and all that. It will make him great. When he was 75, he could still, you know, have a child physically. Yeah? And although he waited for God, Sarah prevailed on him to take a servant, you know, for a child. Sarah said, look, I'm barren. You know, there's no way. And Abraham had this child and thought that was the fulfillment of God's promise. But no, it was just the product of panic. Yeah? Abraham and Sarah in particular panicked, and Abraham cooperated and they begat Ishmael. But that was not the promise of God. 25 years later, after God promised Abraham, yeah, Abraham had now grown so old that he himself was now incapable of having a child. He knew he was incapable. That's when God, you know what God did? God came down as a human being and visited him and told him, in 1 year's time, your wife Sarah will be carrying a child. Imagine, two old people, 100, 190, both knew that it was impossible. Totally impossible. Even the medical medicine could not help. And then God said, this is what I will do. And you know, Sarah conceived. And God gave her the strength to bear a child in old age. Even when every other thing said impossible. So what is God telling us there? That there is nothing impossible. With men, it may be what? Impossible, but not with God. Because with God, all things are possible. And one of the things I've learned in my life is that it is not for you to be analyzing the situation and then telling yourself how exactly God can do it. Just keep trusting God. At some point, yes, you need to take a step, but trust God all the way. Trust God all the way. Because even at the last minute, God can do beyond what you thought. Don't ever give up. Don't panic. Trust God. And every day when you wake up, say, Father God, I don't know how, but I trust you. Amen. I trust you. And whatever you are believing God for, just keep saying it. You know, if you are believing God to be debt free. Are you with me? If you are believing God to be debt free, it's a good thing. Yeah? It's a good thing. If you pile those stuff on your credit card, or whatever other loan, and you will say, God, I want to be debt free. It's not for you to calculate how. You've checked your salary. You've worked out maybe even 1-2 years. You can't even pay this debt. But trust God. And every day wake up and say, Father, I thank you. Because I will be debt free. I don't know how. But I thank you.
and just continue to declare your trust. If you are believing God for any other thing you are believing God for, when you wake up, declare your trust. Father God, I don't know how. You can tell him you don't know how, but I trust you. I believe that this will happen to the glory of your name. Leave it to him on how he will work it out. Now, when God is working out, all you just need to do is give you some instructions, little instructions. Go there, do this, do that. Yeah? You know, like Jesus, there was a blind man. Yeah? And I think this man was born blind. Yeah? I don't know which of the stories I'm quoting. There was more than one story. And the Bible says that he Jesus spit into the mud, mixed it, and put it like clay on his eyes. And then told him to go and wash his face in the pool, you know, or in a lake called Siloam. Yeah, I hope I'm quoting the right story. I mean, it's not the blind man's business exactly how Jesus wants to heal him. What matters is that he is healed, isn't it? Now, he said, you know, imagine that blind man saying, but Jesus, I told you to heal my eye. Why did you spit? Why did you put your spit on my eyes? You know, get the point. He put spit, then he mixed it with dirt. Neither spit nor dirt do you want in your eyes. Are you with me? Get the point. You don't want anybody to spit in your eyes, do you? No. You don't want anybody to put death, as in mud, in your eyes, do you? No. Now, Jesus put the combination of spit and mud. Use it too. But why should the blind man be angry? He was blind anyway. Are you with me? It may not be the way you thought about it. It may not be the way you calculated it that God will do your miracle. But that's not what matters. What matters is that you trust him. And you continue to declare your trust. Amen. God is happy when you do that. And then God is his own supernatural way we move. But he will give you some instruction. You see, the spit and the mud that Jesus put on the blind man's eye was Jesus' part. Yeah? Nothing the blind man needed to do about that. But he told him now, go and wash it in the pool. Jesus cannot do that for you. So, when God wants to give you your miracle, he will do some things for you and he will give you also some instructions. Amen. When you combine those, your miracle will come on the platter of gold. That platter is God. Hallelujah. So your job is to continue to trust God. Amen. If there's any word of God that has been released for you in your life, don't throw it away. There are some things that God might have spoken to your heart about your future. Yeah? God expects you to remind him. God expects you to thank him and say, Father, this is what you said. I thank you because I'm expecting it, that it will come to pass just like you said it. Amen? That is how you release your faith. Amen? Everybody say, release your faith. Let's do one more time. Say, release your faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes you say, oh, Father, you know I'm your child. Why is it that it's not every child of God that is, you know, having breakthrough and victory? They are child of God. Like I say, your need, it moves God's heart. Because God is love. Your need moves God's heart. God cares. That's what I mean. But it's your faith that moves God's hand. Hallelujah. Your need moves God's heart. But it's your faith that moves God's hand. So you cannot have a need and then blame God. That, oh, Father, didn't you see my needs? You know, they are not met. That means you don't love me. No, he loves you. Yeah? But he wants you to use your faith. Everybody say faith. Yeah, you release that faith. In fact, I believe that one of your greatest weapons in life is your faith. Hallelujah. And that's why your faith must not fail. Say to yourself, say, my faith must not fail. And for your faith not to fail, you need something. Something that will keep that faith burning. You need, you know, for the fire not to go out, you need fuel. Yeah? The fuel that keeps your faith burning is prayer. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 26. I'll quickly teach you some things there about prayer and why prayer is important. Why, have you ever asked yourself a question? Why should we pray at all? I like to ask this question, fundamental questions. Why should we pray at all? Now, let me just sample around before we read Matthew 26, verse 36 to 46. So let me ask you quickly. Why should we pray at all? After all, God knows everything and He can do everything. And God loves us. You get the point? God loves me. He knows everything. He can do everything. Why should I pray at all? Sister T.Y.?
For one, we need prayer to sustain us. And also, God Himself has said we should ask so that we can receive. So if we don't open our mouth to pray for certain things, even though He knows we need it, well, we still need to ask Him. So we need to pray. We have to.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer. The Lord already said that we should ask so that we can receive. Yes? Any other answer? Why should we pray at all? Yes. Agnes, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're our special guest of honor today. But next week, you will not be our special guest of honor. You understand? But today, we treat you special. You understand? You have just been promoted. But the time is coming in this church that we'll have a youth church. Once we have a youth worker or youth pastor, we'll have a youth church. There will be a separate room. And just like the kids go for kids church, we'll have, you know, a youth team. And then, you can also do many youth stuff together during the week. So that time is coming. Just patience. Yeah, we'll get there. Amen. So you are blessed. You are blessed for being, you know, the very first member of our youth church. Hallelujah. Okay, yes. Why should we pray at all? Brother Benjamin? Yolanda? Mommy? Why should we pray at all? Let's sample those three in no particular order. Who would like to go first? Yeah, okay. Brother Benjamin. You know, Brother Benjamin is very quiet and gentle. Yeah, but, you know, don't underestimate.
To begin with, the Lord has taught us that we should pray. That's why we are taught the Lord's Prayer, that we should pray all the time. But the purpose of prayer is to renew our faith. Not only is it to renew our faith, but also to strengthen us, and also as a way of communicating to God. Amen.
Amen. Is it out of the three, you know, three-level answer? You know, and I'll just take the first thing you said there, you know, prayer helps us to renew our faith. I like that answer. Now, remember, prayer does not give you faith, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by, yeah. So you want to increase your prayer. What do? You pray and say, God, increase my faith? No. The time the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, He did not give them that answer. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, how your faith increases is through the hearing of the word. If you don't have faith, I know exactly why. You are not exposing yourself sufficiently to the word in that area of your life. When you begin to hear the word of God in that area, you will have faith for it. Are you with me? Whatever aspect of your life you are lacking faith is because you have not heard the word or received the word. When you hear that word and receive it, you have faith for that aspect. Amen. Some people believe God for salvation, but they don't believe God for healing. Because they don't hear the word of God about healing, or they rejected that word. Yeah? Now, salvation will work for them, but healing will not work for them because they have rejected that word. They can't have faith for it. Are you with me? Some people believe in salvation and healing, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't believe in the mystery of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you don't embrace that part of that word, it can't help you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. So if you feel you have little faith, don't worry. All you need to do is keep exposing yourself to the word. Yeah? Either by your personal Bible study, or by being in church, or by listening to messages on the internet, as you feed on the word, your faith will rise. Amen. But prayer renews your faith. How can I explain renew? Like, maybe you are living in a house, so you have a house already. Who knows, maybe you even moved into a brand new house. But over time, what happens to the house? Mommy, what happens to the house as you continue to use it?
I'm in the house now.
Yeah. If we get there'll be dishes to wash, nappies to change, and what else?
Paintings or crayons on the wall that the kids have.
There will be drawings on the wall by the kids. Have you ever experienced that? So, though you have the house, it needs to be maintained and renewed. That's what prayer does to faith. Prayer renews or maintains your faith. Amen. Yes. Any more? Yes, two more. Yolanda, why should we pray at all? You have any idea? Of course you do. Why should we pray at all?
I mean, it's already been said.
Say what? Say just one reason. Your own personal reason, you know that you understand it. Your personal reason. Yes? Why should we pray at all? If someone wants to be you and say, you know, whatever, and you say pray, and say, why should I pray?
We have to pray to sustain our faith.
Okay, now there are more answers.
We have to pray because when we are troubled, we need to speak to God. And part of the ways we speak to God, and prayer is our own weapon of warfare.
Amen. Like issues, yeah. Prayer is a weapon of warfare. Prayer is also one of our sources of comfort. Have you been there? You are troubled. You don't even know what to do, where to go. You are listless and feeling hopeless. Yeah? Prayer is the key. Yes? Do you have Agnes, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Why should we pray at all? I just want your sincere, simple answer, nothing complicated.
It allows God, it gives God the access and the permission to move in areas of our life. Amen. So it's like though God knows everything and every area of our life, prayer allows or gives him the permission, because God cannot move in that specific area without your permission. So whatever area it may be, whether it be financial or relationship or physically, mentally, every area requires prayer. So God to have that his hand in that part.
Thank you, Fernand. That's a very, deep answer, which I really thoroughly enjoyed as we're releasing it. You see, prayer and most of every other thing we do in life is about our free will. Most of the answers you ask about what's going on in life is about free will. Because we know that God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants and undo anything he wants. But what God did was God made man. That Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And God gave this man free will. Not only that, God handed over the earth to man. Now we know that Adam lost it to Satan, but the original right to dominate this world was given to Adam, not Satan. Are you with me? So, God needs permission. Why does God need permission? Because we have free will, isn't it? Yeah? God doesn't want to overrule your life. If he wanted to, he would have overruled everybody, including all the rebels. Are you with me? If God's purpose is to overrule you, he will have done it long time ago, and there will be no sin. Yeah? God needs permission. God needs your permission to get you to heaven. And so does he need your permission to allow you go to hell. Let me explain that. God will never send anybody to hell without their permission. No, for real. He will never send anybody to hell without their permission. Neither will he send anybody to heaven without what? Their permission. You know how we give permission? Whether we respond to God in faith and love, or we reject or postpone. Are you understanding me? Either way, we are making a choice. Prayer gives help. Prayer is the avenue whereby we give God permission to move in our lives and in our world. Are you with me? Because God is not about to force his way through. He could have done that long time ago. You see what I mean? He needs permission. Are you understanding me? And that's what prayer helps us to do. Yes, Sister T.Y., I saw your hand. And then we go to Agnes and just say anything.
When things are going well for us, we still need to say a prayer of thanksgiving as well. So that what is going on well for us today will continue to go well and just protect ourselves. And we still need to thank God and have faith, continue to have faith.
Amen. So again, let me just explain this. So what we're saying is that even when everything is, prayer is not just about asking God for your needs. Even when everything is perfect, you still need to pray. Because one of the aspects of prayer, and I keep saying it, please remember this, don't forget. If you want to destroy the power of worry and depression in your life, always, live a life of thanksgiving. If you practice thanksgiving daily, you will not fall into depression, no matter what is going on. Amen. Practice thanksgiving. A thankful person cannot be overcome by depression. There will always be stuff in your life that you don't like, that they are there. Do you understand? There will always be battles to fight. But if you are thankful, those battles will not enter into your spirit. They will remain outside. Hallelujah. And you can go to bed and sleep nicely. Amen. Prayer is our own way of, communing with God and cooperating with God and involving God in our lives. God does not want to be far. You see what I mean? He wants to be a father. Such as I say, God does not want to be far. He wants to be my father. You see what I mean? So if before your father might say, oh God, far, 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 let's just try to please. We are no longer servants of God, though we are still servants, but we are servants as sons. You see what I mean? We're not servants as slaves. We're no longer servants of God whereby we are afraid and say, oh, let's just please him. No. God wants to be your father. Now, God doesn't want you to serve him just like a slave. He wants you to serve him as a son or daughter. You see what I mean? God wants relationship with you. And that relationship, one of the ways in which you express it or leave it out is through prayer. Because prayer involves God in your life. You see what I mean? That's why prayer is the key. Agnes? Sorry, I'm not trying to put you on the eye. I just wanted to involve you. Say anything about prayer. Just anything at all. It could be one line, two. Your mommy is there to back you up. She won't allow me to.
When you pray, you can communicate with God.
Yes. And that's it. And that also summarizes, what your dad, Tim said before, which is, when you are in trouble, where you need comfort, when you don't know what to do, you can communicate with God. Even in a crisis or emergency, you can call. You see, Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You can call upon the name of the Lord. You see why prayer is key? Actually, if I tell you something, prayer, the depth of your prayer life will always reflect the depth of your spirituality. As you go deeper in your walk with God, you're going to go more into prayer. And prayer will no longer just be about asking God for your needs. Prayer will be about worship, about thanksgiving. And it also be as about, God, what do you want? You understand? And someone said the most powerful type of prayer is the prayer whereby you are praying down what God wants. You see what I mean? He said it releases tremendous power. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 26. Just show you some things there. about prayer and why it's important to pray. Matthew 26, if someone likes to help me read from verse 36 to... Let's just keep it short. So verse 36 to 40. Matthew 26, verse 36 to 40. Yes? Anyone like to read? Sister PJ, I'll come to you.
Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even an hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak."
Hallelujah. I have to be ready to move around. It's part of keeping fit, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus is revealing something very important about prayer to us in this place. I don't want you to miss it. Jesus gives, it's like I'm asking Jesus, of course, I know that all the answers you've given is part of what Jesus will say. But let's assume that I'm asking Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Why should I pray?" Just imagine I asked him there. He gives his own answer. He said, "Watch and pray, so that what? You will not enter or fall into temptation." But I think the better word is fall, because we will face temptation. You understand? So when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," it doesn't mean we won't face temptation. It just means that we will not fall into temptation. You understand? There are some temptations you can walk away from. There are some, once they got you, you are finished. It's like, there are some temptations you don't want to be in that temptation because you can't walk away from it. I don't know if you got me. Because everybody has a different level of strength. One of the things we need to realize as Christians is that there are some things you can't deal with yet, even if you are the pastor. So if you know things you can't deal with, stay away from that place that will cause you to be tempted. Is wise than to get there and be trusting your ability to resist the temptation. Let me explain that again. I say, even if you are the bishop, there are things that everybody cannot deal with in their own natural power. And it varies, just like our faith varies. Don't even mind, you know, you may see yourself and she can deal with it. Don't compare yourself. Just look at your own life, yeah? If there are things you know you can't deal with, stay away. The greatest key to overcome temptation is to abstain from the region of temptation. The strongest person is the person who is wise enough to abstain. Once you can predict and say, "Oh, if I remain here till 6 o'clock, this will happen," then check out by 5. Are you understanding? That's wisdom. And that's how to overcome temptation. Now, it tells us that if we don't want to fall into temptation, we need to what? Watch and pray. Now, I want to tell you the story of three people to explain this, and then we round up. I want to tell you the story of Jesus, the story of Judas, the story of Jesus, and the story of Peter. Yeah? I'll tell you these stories, and then we round up. Now, go back to Matthew 26. I'll show you something there. Matthew 26. You see what Jesus was doing in verse 39. Look at verse 39. Let's read 39 together. Let's all read together. Matthew 26, verse 39. Are we ready? You there? Okay, let's read together. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying.
Father, if it be possible, let the cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine.
It's impossible in this world to constantly walk in God's will as a Christian without prayer. Think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, God Himself, who came to live in flesh, He struggled with doing the will of God. That's why He went to the garden to pray. Why did He struggle? Wasn't He God? Yes, but He was God in flesh. Most of the source of your struggles is the flesh. Yeah? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is... Are you with me? Now, how do you deal with a weak flesh? You deal with a weak flesh by renewing your faith to prayer. You see, one of the ways that the devil tries to get you is he will put pressure around you. The pressure will just be coming. Front, back, left, right. Until the point that you capitulate. Sorry, I'll use the big word there. So, what I mean that, he will put so much pressure around you that at the same you just say, I'm tired. And you just give in. Do you understand? But prayer is what helps you to stand up in the midst of the pressure. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. You see how he was feeling faith. He saw the cross. He saw the weeping, the flogging, the tearing of his flesh, the nailing to the cross. He saw everything, agony that we go to, spiritual darkness. He said, Father, if it's possible, if there's any other way, that's what he's trying to say. If there's any other way, let this pass. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. I want to encourage you this morning and make you understand. I need to keep doing as a pastor. My brother and my sister, the will of God is the best place you can be. You see, any other thing looks good, but it will never compare with the will of God. You know why? God has seen the end. He has seen the end. Yeah? You know, it's like somebody driving a car round and round and round. He's trying to get to London. Yeah? But he's going around those big roundabouts in Basingstoke. You know those big... Yesterday I lost my way twice in this roundabout. I turned, I'm trying to turn around. I missed it. Say no left turn, I turned left. You know? I missed my way again. Got back to that big roundabout. You know the one I'm talking about? The one towards the M3. The new one. I'm trying to turn round the roundabout, but they've redesigned it. You can't turn round. You must cut in at a particular. I didn't know. Again, I said no left turn. You understand? God has seen the end. And why waste your time thinking something is good? You keep going round and round. Yeah, I'm moving. You can be moving but not moving. You see what I mean? You're going round the roundabout, but you're not moving. You're not going anywhere. Do you understand? God has seen the end. So God's will for you is the best. If you can accept that and trust God with your life, your life will not waste. Are you with me? If you can just trust God and say, Father, imagine you wake up every day and say, Father, whatever is your will for me today, I am ready. Yeah? Now, I'm not saying that if you do that, life will be a bed of roses. No, there will be challenge, but your life will be moving in the right direction. Hallelujah. Every day we count for eternity. Amen. Do you know that's God's? That's so Jesus was praying, said, I know this I'm feeling, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You know what prayer does? Prayer helps you to be able to do the will of God. So when you see, sometimes when you are struggling about doing the will of God, it's because you have not prayed. I always tell myself, I said, anytime you are feeling trouble and unsettled, it's a sign that you should pray. Can you take, let's say that again? let me explain. Every time you are feeling troubled or worried, that's not a sign that you need to drink some ice cream or watch some TV. It's a sign that what? You should pray. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what to pray for, yes, you're like me, just pray in tongues. But whatever, pray. Do you understand? If you are feeling, you know, imagine you had a nice day, everything was okay, and suddenly, you are just upset inside. You don't know why. It's a sign that you need to go and pray. Hallelujah. You know why? You know, because there is an intelligent force in this world This force is experienced and is intelligent. You know why it's intelligent? It's experience. It's actually foolish, but it's intelligent because it's experience. It's had a lot of practice. 6,000 years plus. I'm talking about the devil. This intelligent force is constantly warring against the purpose of God. Whether for your life or for the church or for the community. There are spirits of darkness that their job is just to enforce evil. It's not every time you fall into a temptation that it was just only your flesh. The devil is also there. The devil has agents. Are you with me? The devil, when I say people agents, I'm talking about people who have allowed themselves for the devil to take over and use them. You see, that people, when you walk on the streets, it's not everybody that is just normal. Some people have just allowed the devil to take over their mind. Yeah? Do you understand? So imagine you're living in this world contending with them. You have to interact with them. They become the tools of temptation. They become the tools of pressure. They become the tools of irritation and frustration. Do you understand? How will you survive all these forces if you don't pray? Do you understand? So I've just finished the story of Jesus. The secret to Jesus being able to go to the cross. Imagine, did you read it in the Bible? That they slapped him and said, "Who slapped you?" He didn't say anything. They hit him, they flogged him, and they didn't give any reply. He said, "Can't you defend yourself?" He didn't do anything. How was he able to cope? He had prayed. He had prayed. And because he prayed, the will of God for his life was not compromised. Hallelujah. That's the story of Jesus. Now I want to show you, tell you the story of Judas. I read something in my Bible yesterday and I felt sad. I just felt sad for Judas. Let me show you Judas, the story of Judas. Quickly. How can I find it now? Come on. Yes, please go to Matthew 26. It's a quick one. Matthew 26 verse 14. I'll let Agnes read this one. Matthew 26 verse 14 to 16. Matthew 26. Verse 14 to 16. Yes? Do you want to? I'll give you the mic.
The one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him.
Now, I'm sure I'm still developing that story, so you get it. Have you ever asked yourself a question that why did Judas fail? I know that because we've heard this story, we thought that Judas was a bad one, he was the bad egg. Do you know that when Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out to go and preach, and he gave them power to heal the sick and cast out demons? Do you know Jesus was one of them? Do you know that Judas healed the sick? Did you know that? Jesus sent us 70 people. So that includes the 12, yeah? Judas was one of the disciples who went out and healed the sick. Judas cast out demons. In fact, Jesus gave Judas the power to raise the dead. He said it. He said, "Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give." He was there. Do you know? He did those things. He did. Really? So the question I'm asking myself is, why did Judas fail? You know the answer? He was not a praying man. Do you think that God destined Judas from bad that, "Hey, you will be the one to betray Jesus"? Do you think so? Yeah? Do you think that God destined Judas that you are going to, from the day he was born, you are going to hell? Yeah? Do you think so? Let me tell you what God did. Yes, it has been written that one person will betray Jesus. It has been written that one of his disciples will betray Jesus. Yeah? But Judas' own lack of consecration played him into that hand. Did you read in the Bible that there was a time that the Bible records that Jesus used to steal from the poor. You know that story about the woman that came to put anointing oil on Jesus? The Bible says that Jesus was complaining. He said, "Why can you waste this oil?" And the Bible says that it's not because he really cared about the oil. It was because he kept the purse and he was taking from it. You see how he was opening door for Satan? Let me show you something about Judas that you understand finally. Go to Luke. Luke, same story, but Luke gives us a different version of this story so that you understand the story of Judas. Matthew, Mark, Luke 22. And then finally I talk about Peter and we round up. Luke 22. Luke 22, yes, you're right. Verse 1-6. Luke 22, 1-6. Let's have Brother Benjamin now. Have you read today? Have you read today, Brother Benjamin? No? No. So let's have you read. Luke 22, verse 1-6.
Luke 22, reading from verse 1, Judas' decision to betray Jesus Christ. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, drew near. The chief priest and the scribes sought how they might put him to death, for they feared the people. Satan entered into Judas, who was surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered with the 12. He went away and talked with the chief priests and captains about how he might deliver him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. He consented and sought an authority, an opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. Amen.
Judas was not always a devil. Are you with me? Judas saw the miracles of Jesus. Yeah? He was in the storm when Jesus stopped the sea. In fact, among the disciples, yeah, they trusted him enough to make him the treasurer. You get me? Do you just make anybody? I mean, if you know that this, okay, out of this stuff, you know that this person is the worst. Will you make him the treasurer? Do you understand? He presented well. Judas was happy, yeah, to do the religion. He looked well. He presented well. Yeah? He did the religion. But his heart was not right. Later. His heart was not right. You understand? He did not make time out to have a deeper relationship with God. But it was not always a devil. Luke 22, what does it tell us? He said, then Satan entered. Did you read it? Evrika, we're going to clap for you. Be nice to your mommy. Satan entered. Why did Satan enter? Anybody help me? Why did Satan? How was Satan able to enter the heart of Judas?
Because he was a prayerless Christian. I would have said he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit then. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you have space for Satan to enter your heart.
No, he had the Spirit of God upon him, and that's why he was able to do the works of Jesus. Amen? That was not the problem. The problem was he was a prayerless man. Yeah? He didn't have any time to spend in personal communion with God. He was quite happy with the religion. The religion was good. And it made him look good. Are you understanding? And so he kept opening that door to Satan. And finally, Satan entered. Yeah? Finally, let's look at the story of Peter. The end, I need to round up because of time. I wanted to show you a bit more about Judas. But I was just saying, it won't open. You see, when Judas betrayed Jesus, he did not betray Jesus so that Jesus would die. Do you know what he did? He was gambling. He has seen Jesus many times. They wanted to catch him. Jesus will escape. Bible records that sometimes they wanted to catch Jesus and then he just walked through their midst. They didn't see him. He has done his own calculations. It was a financial deal. Go there, make the money. You know, Jesus will walk away anyway. I've seen him do it many times. He did not see the end. And that Bible says that when he saw that I don't want to open because of time. When he saw that they have now condemned Jesus to die, Bible says he was filled with remorse. And he went and hanged himself. He did not foresee that outcome. Are you understanding me? If he foresaw it, he would not go and hang himself. You understand? He was playing deals. He was not seeking that relationship with God. But tell me something. Let's go to Peter for time. Okay, Peter. Go back to Matthew. So let's just look at the story of Peter and we'll round up. I'm just contrasting three people in terms of their attitude to prayer and how that affected them, you know, to succeed or fail. Matthew 26 from verse 36. Where were we? Yes. Okay. Matthew 26. Somebody read verse 40 and 41 again. Matthew 36, 40 and 41. Sister Lucky. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41.
Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter. Could you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but body is weak.
Amen. So are you still with me? Are you still bearing? Just bear with me 5 minutes. We'll round up. I need to show you something about Peter. Very important. Jesus, there was Peter, James, and John there. But Jesus said to Peter, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. Was he calling a bluff? No. It meant if he kept watch and pray, he will not what? Give in. He said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I want to prove it to you. So go a few verses backward. Go backward from Matthew 26 and let's look at verse 31. See what happened just before then. Matthew 26, let's read together verse 31 to 35. Let's read together from our Bibles. Matthew 26, 31 to 35. Let's read. Let's go. On the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, I can't hear you, let's read together, let's all read out. God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Verse 32. And after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Verse 33. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Verse 34. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me.
And verse 35?
No, Peter insisted. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same.
Let me tell you. The problem of Peter was this. Peter says, Jesus said, you know, the devil, you know, you're going to deny me. You're going to, you know, all of you will leave me. Peter says, no. I have a strong willpower. I will not leave you. No. I know myself. I will what? Leave you. Yeah? Self-reliance. Self-dependence. Self-security. That's exactly everything that prayer is the opposite. Prayer is about depending on God. Relying on God. Leaning on Him. Peter says, no, I said, I will not leave. He said, even if all, you know what Peter said? He said, even if all the other 11 leave you, I, Peter, the son of Jonah, will not leave you. I trust myself. Jesus gave him an opportunity to go to the garden to pray. Jesus was trying to pray his own prayer so that he will not fail at the cross, yeah? Peter should have been praying his own prayer so that he will not fail. Because that actually, I'll show you what happened, you know, in Luke, and we round up there. Did Peter pray? He slept. So, was it a surprise that he denied Jesus three times? Bluntantly. So I never knew the man. Are you with me? Finally, let's go to Luke. Same thing. Why did Peter fail? We know. Because he did not pray. He relied on, you know, his willpower, his hard work. Please get the point. Your hard work is important. Bible says that the diligent will rule, but the lazy will be servants. Are you with me? But even in the midst of your hard work, don't forget that without the blessing of God, all your hard work is what? Nothing. Are you understanding me? You know, in Africa, we have people that are street hawkers. They work hard. They wake up before you and they go to bed later. Yeah? But all their hard work, they are still street hawkers. So the hard work is important, but not without the blessing. Hallelujah. So we cannot work hard alone. We must connect, continually keep our connection with the blessing through prayer, that we secure the benefits of our hard work. Amen? Okay, finally, look. Go to Luke. I want to explain to you why Peter failed, but why he did not fail like Judas. Because they were both disciples. Judas failed completely, yeah? But Peter did not fail like Judas. Why? Luke 22. Let's finish there. Luke 22. We'll finish in Luke 22 there. I'm really aching to finish. But I just need to complete that story for you. Luke 22. I want to show you something there. And then we'll finish. Luke 22. Let's read together verse 31. And 32. Luke 22. Let's just read together. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Can we read together? Are you all there? Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Let's read together. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sit each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Let me explain to you. You see, the time of that time of Gethsemane and the cross was not just a time of temptation for Jesus. It was a time of temptation for all of the disciples and Jesus. Satan has asked God for permission to tempt. You know that God can give Satan permission to tempt you? Did you know that? You know, God uses the devil. Did you know? Yeah, God uses the devil. Nothing God has created puts to waste. So yes, the devil has become the devil, but God will use him for his own purposes. The day God has no need for the devil anymore, he will destroy him. And that is exactly what happened. That means that until Satan is destroyed, God will continue to use him to fulfill his own purposes. Yeah? Now, don't misunderstand that. The devil will mean it for evil, but God will use it for good. Are you with me? Satan goes to permission and says, yes, Lord, this is his. God, I want to tempt them all. Yeah? And how did Jesus know that Satan has desired to have Peter to tempt? Do you know how? Do you know how Jesus knew? He had prayed. It's from prayer that he got the revelation that Peter will deny him. It's not that way he knew. It was because he prayed, so he saw it. But why did Peter not fail completely? Because we know later Peter repented. It's because Jesus had prayed for him. Hallelujah. He said, I have prayed for him, for you. So you will fall, but you will what? Repent. Are you with me? Let's round up there. So this is the importance of prayer. Prayer is not just about your needs. It's also about, you know, you being able to live a life that will please God. If you want to live a life that will please God, you have to be praying regularly. It will give you strength to face the pressures of life. It will give you strength to face the temptation of life. It will give you strength to do the will of God. Nobody ever did the will of God completely who did not pray. Do you understand? As you maintain a lifestyle of prayer, you will be one step ahead of the devil. Amen. And that's where God wants you to be. God does not like waste. He said, when we don't pray, yeah, and Satan gets an advantage of us, he wastes all the things we work for, all the things we've labored for, he wastes them. It's like a wasted time, wasted effort, wasted energy, wasted resources. This does not please God. It's because of a lack of prayer. But when we pray, yeah, Satan will find it difficult to get the advantage. Hallelujah. So in rounding up, let's remember that prayer, what, is the key. Let's sing that song together. There's a popular song that says that. Just sing it, we repeat when we pray. It says, prayer is the key. Prayer is the... Sister Tony, please come and help me with the mic. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer. You know where he did that? When he went fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That's how he started his ministry. And he ended with prayer. You know where he did that? In the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. Prayer is the master key. Can we just sing that together? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key.